Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Time now for Mego and Shime on WEEI.
And now the Knicks can dribble it out. For the first time in 2.5 decades, the New York Knicks are going to a conference final. And they do it in dominant fashion as they defeat the Celtics in 6 games. It's their largest playoff win ever.
Losing to the Knicks, you know, feels like death. But I was always taught that there's life after death. So we'll get ready for whatever's next in the journey. I'll be ready for.
That was producer Zach Coe. I didn't even know that you would know this song. You're what, like 23 years old?
26.
26? Okay, excuse me. Still a young pup back there. Megan Adelini here with you until 1 o'clock today. No Chris Scheim. He's taking a well-deserved day off. We're here with John Lyons in the Lyons Den, and we're going to be doing a lot of Celtics talk today. So this is a safe space. If you want to call in, air out your feelings, you know, be they sad, angry, disappointment. Perhaps you've moved on. Perhaps you're in acceptance. The number, as you probably know, is 617-779-7937. And I'll just start where I'm at today. Like, we're going to get very big picture in this show, and we're going to talk about the impact of Jason Tatum's injury, what we think we'll expect from him and the team, and all the salary cap and tax implications, new ownership, ton of change on the horizon. But for me, I think the combination of how the game went in the first half last night with what happened on Monday and Jason Tatum's injury, I kind of felt like Wednesday, that big win, that 25-point win over the Knicks was kind of like something between the last gasp and a bonus. Like, I kind of felt like, unfortunately, really towards the end, even before the Tatum injury in that Madison Square Garden game in Game 4, I was like, wow, the Knicks are really after this. I mean, they really want this. And they looked like they were going up against a team that was both physically hindered and mentally exhausted and emotionally exhausted in the Celtics. And so it's a long way of me saying, I was disappointed, and I was disappointed by the fashion that the Celtics lost last night. As you heard, they're giving the Knicks a historic victory margin. But at the same time, a part of me felt like this is where it was going, and I had gotten ready to say goodbye.
Yeah, Mego, I wasn't necessarily shocked that they lost last night. I was a little surprised it was 38-point loss last night. I remember this was a game with 2:30 left to go in the first quarter, was 16-16. And then the Knicks just blitzed them on a 48-21 run to close out the half. And to your point, again, this reminded me a lot of that 2009 series against Orlando, right? Defending champ. Of course, Garnett got injured much earlier than that, but you're without your star player. And they forced a Game 7, and it was like they kind of ran out of gas finally in the third quarter of that Game 7. And this felt like even if the Celtics had gotten by the Knicks, like let's say Tatum doesn't get hurt and they get by, I was feeling less and less confident about them against, say, an Oklahoma City in the finals, which would have been difficult. Like you and I talked about this a couple months ago, that a fully loaded, fully healthy Celtics team lost twice to OKC this year and would have had trouble with them in the finals anyway.
Right. By the way, like, not sure if OKC is going to be there.
Sure, and that's fair.
So this is the NBA playoffs, man. I have to say, like, as sad as this week has been for Celtics fans and honestly for the Celtics franchise, it's been a really brutal week. I think this is probably, if you talk to anyone in that franchise, they would tell you this is probably one of the toughest weeks, one of the toughest days in Monday in at least recent Celtic history.
I would say in the last 15 years.
Yeah.
And I mean, because you go back to June of 2010, Kendrick Perkins gets hurt in game 6, you lose game 7 of the Lakers. Since then, I don't know if you want to say that last week of Kyrie against Milwaukee in 2019 or that Eastern Conference Finals.
But that was
finals.
More like bitterness, I think. There was kind of like, ugh.
And you still had Tatum and Brown.
Right, how could things turn so sour? This is more just like it feels like the universe turned against you with what happened to Jason Tatum. And it feels like almost, you can't say that it was something karmic because it's not like you did anything wrong, but it felt like there were just these bigger forces of bad luck, bad timing, whatever you may be when you were going, you know, for the back-to-back titles. And again, that's something that the Celtics did not talk about until last night. I mean, I think that was really the first time. They always talk about having championship aspirations, and every NBA team and every NFL team and whatever, you're always playing for a championship, you're always playing for the win, like that's the mentality. But that was something that this group did not want to say. Like, they did not want to say out loud, we're running it back, we're doing this, we're doing that, because they know it's so hard. This is now the last four teams before this that won the championship, went out in the second round. This is how hard it is in the NBA playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, you go back to the last team that won the finals and even made it back was Golden State, right? I mean, they won in 18, they made it back in 19.
And that's a historic dynasty at this point.
Right, and that had two top 10 players of all time with Stephen Durant. Like, that's kind of what it took in recent NBA history to get back. And, like, you look at the last kind of 3 years total of Mazzulla's tenure, but even the last 2 years, kind of when they got Porzingis, they got Holiday, everything that went right for them last year, whether it was health, whether it was attention to details, just things working out, kind of felt like the opposite over the past few weeks and really over large parts of this year. Like, you have the Porzingis illness that, you know, messed him up in March, which prior to that, he was playing awesome in February and parts of March.
Even when he came back from that illness, he was playing really well for the stretch of the regular season that he was back before heading into the playoffs. It's like
he had 34 points against the Knicks on, what was it, April 4th or whatever that game was?
He had 8 3-pointers. He tied his career high 3-pointers. And we'll get to the 3-pointers and like what went wrong in the series and everything. It's just, I think the big look for me right now is I felt kind of prepared for this loss. And I'm not saying that I didn't have any confidence in them without Jason Tatum. I just felt like what they were able to accomplish Wednesday night was about pride and about putting something back out there on home court. I think a lot of it was about themselves and putting something out there for the fans, knowing that it's going to be a tough year ahead and saying, you know, there's something here still. We're still going to be a playoff team. We're still going to compete, you know, believe in us. I just think that there was, you just saw exhaustion. And if you ask me what went wrong this series overall, people are going to point to 3-pointers and people are going to say, does this style of basketball work and will it work when the team is probably pretty significantly altered in the offseason? I'll just say this. They shot 42% field goal percentage overall in this series through 6 games. So that's pretty much average. I mean, that is pretty, give or take some, that's pretty much average. They shot,
I think the issue is, though, they shot 50% against the Knicks in the regular season.
They shot 35% in from the three-point line. So these aren't horrible numbers. Yeah. There was some really ugly stretches. If you ask me what this series came down to, unfortunately, I really think it came down to health.
Well, what
really
did we say in October, Mego? Right? Like, what was the biggest obstacle the Celtics could have this season? If they didn't stay healthy. And I'm not excused. Like, there were times in this series they did not play well. Like, healthy or not, you have a 20-point lead at home in games 1 and 2. You got to win at a minimum one of those games,
right?
At least 2. So I'm not excusing that. But, I mean, the biggest story of this series is going to be the Tatum injury. I think the next biggest story is the Porzingis illness. If he's healthy, you're not losing games one and two at home with a 20-point lead. You're just not. Like, that's the guy who, when you're missing all those threes, when you're 25 of 100 in the first two games, that's the guy who was the best post-up player in the NBA this regular season by points per possession. That's the guy that unlocks that. We saw it so many times last year when they would get into a rut offensively, and he was the guy that would unlock it. We saw it when he was healthy this year. And even in the Orlando series, he had, what, the 20-point game in game two. He had another 19-point game in game, I think it was four. And then that just evaporated with this illness against the Knicks.
Yeah, I think Porzingis is probably the second biggest part of it. Even guys Drew Holiday and Jaylen Brown, not themselves in this series. We know Jaylen had to miss several games in the regular season at the tail end of the regular season because he had an injury, and then he dislocates his finger against Orlando. This is a very physical five games that they played against Orlando. Drew Holiday missed a couple games at the end of that Orlando series. Like, these guys were far from 100%. And in most cases, I'd say, okay, these guys are out there, so you got to compete. If you're healthy enough to be out there, you got to compete. But I do think about going through the entire title run last year. Those guys, especially Drew Holiday, Derek White, playing for Team USA over in Paris, and then coming right back and going through this entire season, I just think there was a level of exhaustion and physical impairment that they could not get over. And maybe that bled a little bit into the mental side of the game with those first two games. You can't give up two games to an inferior opponent in terms of talent, which is what the Knicks were, on your home court. It's just so hard to come back from. Even if you had everybody feeling good, that's still a tough thing to come back from. And so I think they set themselves up in a bad way, and then it really went to catastrophic with the Tatum injury. And so, again, I'm just here today saying, like, it was nice what they did Wednesday, but I think we all knew it was kind of trending towards this.
And if you look at the last 11 months, because it was 11 months ago today, the Celtics beat the Mavs in Game 5 to win the championship, and you said it, right? Holiday, White, and Tatum play in the Olympics. Porzingis has surgery. Their true starting five struggled to stay on the court together. I mean, there was a point on January 1st, their true starting five had only played 86 minutes together. And I know they upped that number as the next few months went on, but it's like they were kind of playing from behind, if you will, with that group. And I know it's okay, it's the same group as last year, I get it, but it felt like they struggled to kind of establish a consistent rhythm. And we saw that in the Knicks series as well. And one injury you didn't even mention, and I know it's not as big a deal, but Sam Hauser, right? Sprains his ankle in game one.
He wasn't right all year.
He wasn't right all year. And the reason I bring up Hauser is Brad Stevens built this roster with so much depth and redundancies because he knew Holiday's a little older, Horford's a little older, Porzingis is injury prone. And then those guys, those quote-unquote redundancies, if you will, Tatum gets hurt. Brown's not healthy. Porzingis has, ironically, no bones, tendons, muscles injuries, but this mystery illness that sidelines. And then a guy like Hauser gets hurt. And then it's like you're leaning on Luke Kornet, who has a terrific game five, but you can't depend on that through the balance of a series. Pritchard, sixth man of the year. He's a really good player. I think they could have played him more in the first couple games. But, I mean, that's the point you were at. You were kind of leaning on White, Pritchard, a not 100% Brown, and Kornet. And I think it only goes as good as they were and as deep as they were, it only went so far. And credit to the Knicks, too. The Knicks role players in this, I think we got to mention, OG Anunoby, 9 points per game against the Celtics in the regular season. He had 3 20-point games in this series. Like, Josh Hart was much better. He was 1 for 9 from three against the Celtics in the regular season. Much better. 11 for 30 in this series. Like, their role players were also better than the Celtics role players for the most part.
Absolutely. And look, I see the text rolling in. They lost three with Tatum. Not a single team is healthy at this point. I don't excuse the first two losses at all. But if you sit here and tell me this proves that Missoula ball doesn't work or the three-point approach doesn't work, I think that there are stretches where it went to an extreme, and you can't have that. In those first two games, having 19 out of 20 field goal attempts in one quarter be three-pointers. That's an extreme that I don't think any team, even maybe like prime Golden State Warriors, can try.
But even those teams, like, they had Andre Iguodala, they had Draymond Green, like, they had guys they would go inside
to. There was variety, right. And but at the same time, if you ask me to look back on this and say, how did they lose that series against the Knicks, I'd say they dropped those first two at home, they put themselves in a really bad position there, and then even before the Tatum injury, this team is banged up, this team looks exhausted, and once the Tatum injury strikes, they have this last gasp. They're playing for pride. Their backs are up against the wall. They want to prove something. And then they get to MSG, and it just looked not right from the beginning. And we can't get into the specifics of really what went wrong in that game last night. Basically, just the first half, because once you get to the third quarter, Jaylen Brown picks up six fouls. It's over. You are what you are. It's just kind of a sad, long goodbye at that point in the fourth quarter. And I do want to give a little perspective. Like, it's a disappointment. It's a bitter disappointment. You thought that the best case scenario for this year was going to be a bittersweet goodbye to some of these guys, that they would be on duck boats, that you'd have the first back-to-back since 1969 for the Celtics, that you'd be raising banner 19. And you thought, hey, maybe you'd have to say goodbye to Kristaps Porzingis, or maybe you'd have to say goodbye to Drew Holiday or Sam Hauser and a collection of these guys, and you know their ownership is going to turn over and there's going to be some uncertainty on the horizon, but you get another banner, the Jays are together, you still got a very bright future. And it just wasn't meant to be. I think I never really thought that there was going to be a third year of this exact team, or very much of this team, because of the tax penalty. You're looking at $238 million that they're going to be paying on top of about $226, I want to say, million-dollar payroll if they kept everyone together next year. So I thought at worst, it would, or your best-case scenario, rather, would be, oh, what another awesome season. They ran it back. They really wanted to get paid in a parade this last time, and now it's a new ownership, and who knows what's going to happen. Does feel like we're close to the worst case of what could have happened with a catastrophic injury with your generational star, but that's where we are today, John Lyons.
Yeah, and I think when you look back at this two-year run, as soon as Drew Holiday signed his extension last year, I think a lot of us said, all right, this is really one more year after that extension. So last year's playoffs and this year. And so when, you know, Shams came out, what was it, a few weeks ago, and was like, oh, the league's bracing for changes. To me, that was a non-story.
That was so duh. I don't understand why Shams did that.
I think that was just for attention. Because
everybody has known that. Wick Grossbeck came on the morning show, on the Greg Hill morning show, and said they're not going to stay in the second apron for more than 2 years. Nobody in the league is doing that under the new collective bargaining agreement.
Even Phoenix is looking to potentially move pieces, and that's a team that's had the highest payroll ever. So it's not a surprise to me this was a two-year thing. I think what's fascinating going forward, and we'll get into this as we go, you combine the Tatum injury timeline with Chisholm's willingness, like, well, what it is to spend, the ages of some of these guys, because right now, this two-year run, everybody's primes and ages kind of lined up. I mean, Horford was the older guy, but everyone else kind of lined up. That's not going to be the case when Tatum returns. So it's they still have the potential to be a championship contender next year and the year after, if Tatum comes back next year, year after, but it's going to be with a significantly different cast around Tatum and Brown.
All right, we'll get into all of it. Like I said, we're going to get into the series itself, where they lost it against the Knicks, what you can take away from that for what you can expect for the Celtics going forward. Later on this morning, and we're going up until 1 o'clock here on WEEI today. Later on, we will get into some Patriots talk. We will get into some schedule reaction and how that's kind of formed our opinions about what we think this team is going to do going forward. But this is Megan Onalini with John Lyons hanging out with you. And right after trending, we'll be back talking a little more Celtics next.
The Christian Arcan Show, weeknights starting at 6. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
The Celtics' pursuit of banner 19 and back-to-back titles came to an end last night. They fell to the Knicks 119-81 at Madison Square Garden. Jaylen Brown led the way with 20 points, and here's what he had to say after the season-ending loss.
It stings, as it should. Anytime, you know, losing stings, especially finishing your season like this, you know. But, you know, it just wasn't our year.
Knicks will advance to take on the Indiana Pacers in the Eastern Conference Finals. That series will get underway on Wednesday. Red Sox losing streak was extended to 4. They lost to the Atlanta Braves in last night's Chris Sale versus Garrett Crochet pitcher's duel at Fenway. 4-2 was the final. Like I just said, Crochet got the start for the Sox. He went 7 innings, allowing 2 runs on 7 hits, striking out 8. But it was a 9th inning bullpen implosion of 6 walks, allowing 2 runs to score that led to the loss in this one. They'll be back in action tonight at Fenway. Lucas Giolito taking the mound opposite Grant Holmes for Atlanta. You can hear coverage of that one right here on WEEI and across the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Joe Weil getting you started on the Mass Mutual pregame show at 6:15. Then Will Fleming and Lenny DiNardo with the call of the game. First pitch at 7:15. Elsewhere in the NBA, Denver Nuggets heading to Oklahoma City for a winner-go-home. Game 7 tomorrow afternoon, winner taking on the Timberwolves in the Western Conference Finals. Over in the NHL, the Toronto Maple Leafs staved off elimination. They won 2-0 over the Panthers in Sunrise. They'll head to a Game 7 back in Toronto tomorrow night. And the Winnipeg Jets looking to follow in the Maple Leafs' footsteps tonight. They head to Dallas for Game 6, where the Stars lead that series 3-2. Some major NFL news from yesterday. The 49ers and quarterback Brock Purdy agree to a 5-year, $265 million extension, making him the 5th highest paid player in the league. Finally, the Revolution hosting the San Jose Earthquakes tonight at Gillette Stadium, kickoff at 7:30. My name is Zach Cohen. That's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com. More Mego and John Lyons coming up after this.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Now, more of Mego and Sean on WEEI.
You know, doctors are trying to help as much as possible, but it was just some lingering fatigue, you know, some effects. And even right now, I'm just, you know, I played, I don't know, 11 minutes, but I'm cast right now. Like, I could just lay down here and just take a little nap, easy. You know, which is extremely weird, and many symptoms that were kind of super weird. So I think nobody has a clear answer. I'll see how I go from here. And maybe I do some extra testing, some extra stuff, you know, and see if we find something. But if not, maybe, you know, maybe just a reset for my whole system, and that will get my energy levels hopefully back up.
Oh man, I hope this isn't what Jaylen Brown is saying next year. when he comes back to the Auerbach Center for training camp. Looking
around.
Who are these guys? Oh, that's Kristaps Porzingis talking after last night's loss. Sorry, this is going to be the kind of day where sometimes you got to laugh at the situation that you find yourself in, because the Celtics go up 4-0 against the Knicks this regular season. They beat them by an average of 16 points during the regular season, and then it's a whole different animal in the playoffs. And so was Kristaps Porzingis, quite sadly. I wanted to check this because Porzingis there was talking about the illness that he struggled with in the late winter of the regular season. You go back to the 7 games that he came back and started right after he missed like 2 weeks, 2+ weeks with that illness, which was very strange at the time, and he kept wanting to come back for that. He averaged about 22 points per game in the 7 games that he came back immediately after that. And he was shooting almost 55% overall. Like, he was playing pretty fantastically. And he kept telling us that he didn't feel well at that time. And I was saying, like, well, if he doesn't feel well, that's fine. Because he looks great out there. 22 points per game in those 7 games. And his just absolute best against the Knicks to close it out. And then the guy who shows up in the playoffs just looks so not right. And it sounds like he's a little bit at a loss. My guess would be that the Celtics have a pretty good idea of what is going on with him. Maybe it's some kind of asthmatic reaction from whatever virus that he had in the winter. But it just is odd to me that it seems like it got really re-aggravated. The fatigue was obvious, especially in this series. But you even saw a little bit of it in Orlando, and he was saying then that he wasn't right.
Yeah, and in that stretch you mentioned, huge game against the Knicks at Madison Square Garden, an overtime win for the Celtics. He had 34 points. By the way, ironically, a clutch time technically win for the Celtics in that game at MSG. And yet this is a guy that, and I would maintain this, Mego, I'd be curious your opinion. In the last 5 years, the best basketball the Celtics have played were the Porzingis minutes in the NBA Finals last year, whether it was Game 1 or Game 5. They were borderline unstoppable. So this is how good he was for you. And he was, to me, the key to them having the best offense in the NBA over the last couple of years, right? Second in offensive rating last year, best offense last year. He was the key to that because in those moments when you weren't shooting threes or it would get too stagnant, the Tatum dribble, 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 step back three, he was the guy that would either be pick and roll running to the rim or you would throw it inside on a post-up. And that was just non-existent in the series. Like, you mentioned his averages those last 8 games or so. I mean, he averaged 19 points a game in the regular season. He averaged 4 points a game in the series, 4 rebounds a game in this. I mean, Game 4, I know they won 1 point. I mean, this was a totally different guy. He went from being, I think, the piece that put you over the top last year to being an absolute liability. Like, when
he was. Unfortunately, yeah, there were points defensively in the series, especially in those first 2 games, really the first 4 games, before Mazzulla made the late change to Luke Kornet and tried to stick with it. Didn't stick last night. Porzingis was a problem on defense in a bad way. Like, he just looked like he was a half step behind everything. He looked like his reaction time was way down. And he looked labored. The guy looked exhausted anytime that you saw him going over to the bench, anytime that you saw him on the Jumbotron. He just didn't look right, and it's disappointing. He finishes this series with more turnovers per game average than points per game. He finishes with 5 turnovers per game compared to 4 points per game, as you just said. And I feel bad because it's a guy who's been so snake-bitten, and even when he got traded here, it was a tough pill for me to swallow because I was a big Marcus Smart fan. Like, personally, I think what Marcus Smart did around the city here was really cool with his Young Game Changer Foundation. I know a lot of people were very divided on his style of basketball and his own sense of where he was on the team. I know he wasn't always the most popular guy with people who weren't like diehard green teamers or whatever you want to call them. But I was sad to see Marcus Smart go, and I know that that was a decision that was really difficult for Brad Stevens to make at the 11th hour when he saw that he could get Porzingis and they didn't want to make the trade for Malcolm Brogdon at that time. So he offers up Marcus Smart, and everyone was saying, God, this guy just can't stay healthy. You know, how do you trade for this guy, for Porzingis? He can't stay healthy. And I thought, like, yeah, but injury prone is such a tough label for athletes to get. This is why. You know, this is, it's tough. It's tough to beat the allegations today when you have this very strange illness. I can't remember an athlete going through an illness like this. We see sometimes with injuries, guys aren't right and they don't trust their bodies and they look like they lose their confidence this way. But I really can't remember another time when a guy had a long illness like this and it went away and he looked awesome. And then it came back at the time that you needed him the most.
And it was crazy in that this was finally a year where going into the playoffs, he doesn't have any issues with his bones, with his muscles, with his tendons, with his ligaments, anything like that. And that's after having surgery last offseason, but then he gets this illness, right? Like, it's just like he had all these things going right for him physically, and then he still gets the illness. And I mentioned that the Porzingis minutes in the finals last year were the best the Celtics have played in the last 5 years. But even in that finals, got re-injured in game two, missed a couple games, came back for game five. But it's just unfortunate in that we've seen when they operate with him, they're almost unbeatable. Like when he's healthy and they're operating with him. And you mentioned defensively, and I'm glad you brought that up, because I think when we always talk about him as a unicorn, it's he can hit these 30-foot threes but also be an elite post-up player. He's a terrific inside defender.
Oh, yeah. The rim defense that he gives you is
we even started for a couple minutes last night.
When he's at his best. Actually good. Yeah, he had a little bit of a flash there, and they needed it because Luke Kornet, nobody can take the game away from him that he had in game five. He has 7 blocks. He's up there with Perk. He's he's in from 2009.
Luke Russell.
He's up there like in Celtics franchise history with those Parrish. Blocks. Yeah. But yeah, Robert Parrish was another guy who had 7 blocks. Robert Williams III actually leads
had 9, right?
With 9 in 2021. But I digress into stats. With Luke, when they threw him out there last night, I was a little worried about him getting the start because it was his first playoff start ever, and it's in a gotta-have-it game. And they kept trying to throw him these lobs inside. They kept trying to get this alley-oop game going inside very early on, and it just wasn't translating. I thought the moment looked a little big for him.
And the
say
Knicks
that.
Weren't going to be fooled again. Like, I think he might have snuck up on the Knicks in game five. That wasn't going to happen again. And I think last night, and I was fine with Kornet start. I supported him starting. My thought going into last night is you are going to need a game from Al Horford, like game three against Indiana last year where he hit 7 threes, or game five against Cleveland last year where he had 22 and 15, or you're going to need a big night from Sam Hauser. Like, you are going to need someone else who is not named Jaylen Brown, not named Derek White, and not named Luke Kornet to have a huge night, and nobody did. Like, Porzingis was their second best player last night.
Well, so Jaylen obviously was productive offensively in that first half, which is really the only part of the game that is kind of worth talking about. Jaylen was big offensively, but he also had so much trouble being the primary ball handler, being the guy that the offense ran through. It was kind of like a lot of the stuff that people were worried about in game five. Oh, is he going to have these turnovers? Is he going to struggle to execute the offense? Those suddenly appeared again in game six. Yeah. It was 6 turnovers for him. I always used to dread when it looked like Jaylen Brown was going to match the number of turnovers to his jersey number. I would feel that way in 2022 and be like, oh my God, not this Jaylen. Jaylen was doing everything he could, but I think overall, the approach last night from the beginning looked very rushed. They looked like a team who was trying to make everything happen in the first quarter. They looked totally out of touch with each other. Jrue Holiday looked really not like himself in terms of his confidence handling the ball and the turnovers that he had. They were not connecting. And I think I had this stupid idea, like before tip-off, when I saw that Luke Kornet was starting, I thought maybe there's going to be an advantage to all the times that guys were out during the season. We heard so much about how little the starting five that was expected actually played together in the regular season, because this guy's out, that guy's out, Porzingis is out to start the season. You know, you're kind of rotating through these strange lineups. And I thought, maybe that's going to work in their favor. maybe these guys running it back another year, because they know each other so well, that will work in their favor, and the Knicks won't really know what to prepare for or what to do here. But unfortunately, it went the other way. It looked like they really weren't connected on offense out there.
And I think in game five, it did work for them, right? Because they seemed to be on the same page. They played well. Cornette had a big night. But I go, you brought up the point of Jaylen's turnovers. This team that had 11 turnovers in the first half, like, they were really bad offensively, not just shooting the ball, but handling the ball. But then I sit there and wonder, why did they put so much emphasis on Jaylen bringing the ball up and running the offense? Like, you have Derek White, Drew Holiday, and Peyton Pritchard, three good ball-handling guards. And I know you're not wrong about Holiday last night specifically, but on the whole, those are three guys who, at a minimum, you can find one or two to bring the ball up each possession. Yet it felt like they were just relying on Jaylen Brown to completely set the tone, to run everything through him. And this is a complaint I have sometimes, even when Tatum is healthy. Like, Tatum and Brown are so devastating when they are on the move, whether it's to get open threes or to drive downhill and go to the basket, that I don't want them bringing the ball up as much as they do. Like, you have Derek White, who is a really good ball handler, who also is has one of the quickest releases of a shot in the NBA. You have Pritchard, who's a good ball. Like, I want to see those guys, and that's something we can talk about too going forward to next year, especially starting out without Tatum. I don't want to see Brown running the offense. I want to see Brown as that guy that the defense always has to be of where he is. I think it's a big part of why he won Finals MVP, is he wasn't running the offense, but he was making signature plays left and right against the Mavs. So
yeah, I think that we have tons of, I guess, like, criteria that we can go through, tons of notes that we can give on last night's game that I feel like we've barely scratched the surface of, because there's so many big picture questions, and we'll be addressing those all morning. But we'll also be taking your calls all morning. 617-779-7937 is your number. Let's start with Greg in New York. Greg, how you doing this morning?
Hey, good morning. I'm listening to you guys about, sort of dissecting what happened during the series. And it's like, this is just a rinse and repeat over the last 5 years. You know, this emphasis on 3-point shooting. Like, in my mind, Joe Mazzulla doesn't really coach. How do you give up 20-point leads in two games and then a 15-point lead in another game and not fall on your sword for that? This style of play is so infuriating to me. It's almost mindless. And I wish they would go in a different direction after this season. He doesn't coach. Anyway, I'm very frustrated, as you can tell, and I'd love to hear what you have to say about it. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Greg. I'd say this. Like, I was very critical of Joe Mazzulla in his first year here. Everybody was saying what a tough position he was put in, and it was tough that he had to take over that team a week
was a tough spot, in fairness,
the regular season started. But at the same time, it was kind of like, it's a tough spot if you're 18 years old and for high school graduation you get, I don't know, I'm not a car person, but like a brand new Porsche.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of what that roster felt like at that time. I think who Mazzulla grew into in the season that we saw last year and this year, and some of the adjustments he made, are really admirable. And I think he's turned into a really good coach. And I know that's not going to be a popular take this morning because of how they went down 0-2 to start the series when they should have been at least 1-1. You've got to take at least one at home at TD Garden. But I'm not going to be one of these people who's sitting here today calling for Joe Mazzulla's head. I think there were a lot of things that went wrong. I think it's fair to sit and say, is the 3-point analytical approach going to stand the test of time when your roster looks different next season? Like, I think all of that is totally fair game. What's interesting to me is, I think it was important for the Celtics to feel like they had consistency after they let Ime Udoka go. I think they felt, we got to give Joe a chance to grow into this role. He did. And they felt like, we need to keep as much intact and have consistency for these guys. They've had three very different kinds of coaches over Jason Tatum's time. And that's something that I've talked to his personal skills coach, Drew Hanlon, about, where you got this first coach in Brad Stevens, who has this very much college coaching mentality. He likes drawing up the plays. That's where his passion is. The game itself, the way it moves, how he can distribute these different guys, kind of breaking down that almost kind of like old school eye test side of it. And then you go to Ime Udoka, whose message to the guys is check your ego at the door and everything we do is going to start on defense. The offense will come from the defense. Don't even worry about that right now. That ran out of gas once you see one of the best offensive teams in the Golden State Warriors on the other side in the finals, but it certainly worked for a while. Then he had his own problems and had to be shown the door. Then you get Joe Mazzulla, and he's this young guy who has his own mentality, his own mindset that he preaches very intense. And he's also very much in line with this analytical drive that has been overall in sports. And you can call it nerd or whatever, but it got them a championship. And I'm interested to see, you know, how they go moving forward with this team. But we see all your calls lining up, and we will definitely address Mazzulla. We'll definitely address the big picture questions, and we'll continue to look at last night and this Knicks series overall in just a minute.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are dietitian approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
You're listening to Mego and Shime on WEEI.
Welcome back. We continue on Celtics, who were their own worst enemies last night, and certainly for most of this series. Something very notable that cropped up in this series and was unfortunate were the turnovers. If you want to talk about actual basketball and not just the big picture stuff, they averaged about 13 turnovers per game. Last night, they were on pace for 22 turnovers after the first half. Like, that would have been their worst performance in that category of the entire season. Their worst game came against Atlanta with 20 turnovers early in the season.
Was that random game they lost in, like, November
or
something?
They had another bad one that was 20.
Weren't they up, like, 15 in that game? We don't have to relitigate it, but, like, yeah, that was another one of those.
Well, the turnovers are something that crop up for this team from time to time. The last 2 years, to Joe Mazzulla's benefit, have been something that he's worked on and that they've really eliminated, because it really came to like reached a nadir in those 22 finals against the Golden State Warriors, where they just couldn't hold on to the ball. And it was so tough, but I think that was a big part of this Knicks series, honestly. People will point to the three-point attempts and the three-pointers that they missed, but I think a lot of it was giving the ball away and not connecting, and it was certainly a huge issue in the first half last night when you're not healthy and you're without Jason Tatum. But I thought that was the biggest change in game 5 that they were able to execute, was holding on to the damn ball and making the right play and swinging it around in a smart way. And it just looked completely out of sorts, especially last night, John.
And I think, too, not only was the turnovers, and they got smoked on the boards. Like, whenever the Knicks really turned it up, I mean, last night the Knicks out-rebounded them 55-36, didn't even feel that close.
No, there was one point where I want to say it was like 31-17 to start the third quarter.
Right, and it didn't even feel that close. And I have to say, like, we talked a lot in the first couple segments about the Celtics' health, and I agree, and I know people don't want to hear that, but I do think if they were fully healthy, we're having a much different conversation
now. Well, big picture conversation, if you look at this series, Sean, just really quick.
Yeah.
If say we're 5 years from now, if you say, what kept the Celtics from repeating back-to-back? Would you say that was an all-time Knicks team? No. Would you say the Knicks were better? No. Would you say they ran out of gas? They didn't get up for the first two games of that series? I could buy that. But I think overall, like in history, historical perspective, we'll look back on it and say, a lot of those guys weren't right. Tatum goes down. And it's kind of over.
It's kind of like now we look back on 2022 and we're like, maybe they weren't quite ready against a great Golden State team. But I think health played the biggest factor. But I think something else here, which concerns me, the Knicks were tougher mentally and physically in this series. And it is eerily similar to Miami in 2023. Like the Miami that series got up 3-0. Celtics came back. Miami withstood that and was tougher in Game 7. Miami was tougher mentally and physically in that series. And the Knicks were tougher mentally and physically. They were better inside. They were better on the boards. It felt like they had a million second chance points in this series. And the mental toughness factor, right? Like Joe Mazzulla said last night in his post-game press conference, he was asked about those games 1 and 2, the 20-point leads. He goes, well, the Knicks made some huge momentum plays. And he's right. But that's the problem. Like, the Knicks made those plays, and the defending champs didn't. And it felt like when the threes weren't going in, especially in those first couple games, they couldn't kind of get out of their own way. You talked about the turnovers last night. So, yes, I think health is the biggest factor, and I know that's probably not what people want to hear now. But the next biggest factor, and something that they got to think about this summer, this is 2 out of 3 years where they got eliminated by a team tougher than them. And last thing I'll say on that, too, last year, the Celtics were the tougher team. They were tougher than Cleveland. They were tougher than they won 3 clutch games against Indiana. They were tougher than Indiana. And we saw in the finals, they were much tougher than Luka and the Mavs. They were the aggressor. But this year, I mean, credit to the Knicks, but that's a problem for the Knicks were tougher mentally and physically.
Yeah, I think that's completely fair. Let's grab a call. And we got a lot of you guys lining up. We'll be here all morning to get your Celtics thoughts at 617-779-7937. Let's go to D in South Florida. What's up, D?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Meg, appreciate your Wednesdays with Greg Hill. Love a big Celtic fan here. So I want to talk about the series in kind of a big picture view right quick. As far as the series goes, the series was lost in game one, guys, because the talk around New York was, you know, after they beat Detroit, was how they were 0-4 against the elite teams, 0-4 against Boston, 0-3 against Cleveland, 0-2 against KC. And when you allow a team to come back from 20 points down on your home court, I believe that gave them the confidence and to get over that psychological hump that they couldn't get over in the regular season. And then for it to happen twice is inexcusable on your home court. With Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, there's just no excuse for it. So I believe game one was the series momentum changing game in the series. And John, you hit it right on the head, man. The Knicks were physical. They were tougher. And I think it exposed the Celtics were not as deep as everybody thinks, because Mitchell Robinson was a series changing player. Deuce McBride came in and gave him a lift. And when I look at the landscape of the NBA, guys, the Pacers are here, young athletic team. The Knicks are here, young team. And Orlando and Detroit are on the come up. So Boston has got to get younger on the wings, more athletic, and they've got to get a big that can play with his back against the basket and get more rebounding. Because like you said, John, the Knicks were just tougher, man. You can't take that away from them.
Thanks, D. A lot of good points there. We'll get into the big picture in the next hour for sure. The idea of the Knicks getting over this mental hump from the regular season. I do think, as crazy as it sounds to somebody who's a casual fan watching this series and watching Mitchell Robinson at the free throw line looking like, oh my God, how does an NBA player shoot that way for those first couple games when it was, Hakimich, he was a big difference. He missed three of those four games in the regular season, and he's a great defensive player. And he had the Celtics completely out of sorts last night. I mean, he was on an elite level last night, so give him credit for that. There was a sensibility that a lot of us had going into this series from the outside, watching it and saying, I mean, they're going to be a good offensive team, but you just had to run through Orlando, which is a top two defense in the entire league. So this is going to be a nice way to open it up for the Celtics, let them shoot their threes and have a little bit of an easier run. It certainly wasn't that.
Yeah, and I think to the caller's point, he said game one is when it was lost. To me, it turned in game two, because like game one, you came off a physical Orlando series. The Knicks were hyped up. Okay, you blew a lead, but you're the defending champs. And even if you go back to last year, you had a bad game in game two against Miami and recovered. Donovan Mitchell went crazy in game two against Cleveland. You recovered. So you kind of had that there for you. Then to do it again in game two, when they obviously weren't sneaking up on you, right? They had just done it in game one. That was the game that they had, what, 19 threes out of 20 shots in the third quarter. Like, none of them went in. Like, that to me was like, not only did you lose two games at home, not only are you down 0-2, but it's, okay, maybe game one they can sneak up on you a little bit. Game two, like it happened again. Like, to me, that was where the series, I was like, uh-oh. Like, not that they can't win, but I was like, ooh, they're in real trouble.
Yeah. All right. We got some big picture questions, and I know everybody wants to talk about who they think is going to stay, who's going to go. What's it going to look like for Jason Tatum next year, the year after? Where do the Celtics go from here under the new ownership that we're expecting to be approved sometime in June or July? We'll get into all your big picture questions and continue taking your calls on the other side of this very quick break.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.